Luke. Luke.
Ben?
You will listen to the Wampa's Lair podcast.
Podcast?
There you will hear your hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, as they discuss all things Star Wars. So join the conversation and hang out. Oh, and watch out for Wampas.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampas Lair podcast. This is episode number 174. Tell that to Kanja Club.
I spent that money.
Kanja Club wants their investment back too.
I never made a deal with Kanja Club.
Tell that to Kanja Club.
I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, the BB-8 to my chopper, we have Carl LeClaire.
Adorable and adorable. Hello, hello. I can't do BB-8, Jason, can you?
No, not right now. I need a refresher course.
You'll have to work on that for the next one. I love Chopper and BB-8. I find them more exciting than R2. So, I know. Sorry,
R2. It's because R2 hasn't been like in the spotlight since 2005, basically.
That's true.
Well, he's had a couple episodes in Clone Wars,
yeah.
But he hasn't.
BB-8 has been obviously the show stealer as of late.
Yes, he has. And Chopper is just full of, you know, irreverent goodness.
Yes. Yeah, it seems like Chopper and R2 would be good. Well, they wouldn't be good friends because they'd butt heads a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like BB-8, like, he looks up to R2 clearly in that movie.
Yeah. Yes.
BB-8.
That's
it's
awesome.
Very unlikely that R2 will wake up. Oh, 3PO. Jason.
Oh, yes, Carl.
We have a fun episode.
We do.
We're catching up.
We are. And it's not really just catching up on anything in particular. We're just catching up.
Yes.
We're going to have a fun little episode because it's been a bit since we were able to record due to our busy work schedules.
Yes, things have been a little crazy as of late, so I hope you are all bearing with us with our infrequent episode updates.
Yes.
Hopefully that'll stop soon and get a little bit more consistent here. But there's been so much going on with Star Wars in general. We figured why not just talk about some of the stuff going on. We've got the This Is Madness tournament going on. We've got lots of great Rebels coming out. We've got the Blu-ray coming out in a little over a week. Yeah, just a little over a week. That's right.
Yes.
So lots of great things going on. And before we get to any of them, Jason, we had an awesome matchup that you gave us last episode of Kanan versus Rey. And we got quite a bit of feedback for this one, which was awesome to see again. So what say the Larians, Jason?
All right. Well, the Larians have spoken. I'm not going to be reading all of the responses in full, but I will make sure everyone's name and vote is heard, as per usual. On Facebook, Joey Letson says, Rey has untapped power that she doesn't even understand yet. She might have a little trouble at first, but then the Force would guide her to victory. Jeff Langrood says, Rey. Jeffrey Beaumont, Rey. Travis Magruder, Kanan. Andy Peachy, Kanan definitely defeated the Grand Inquisitor, who was formerly a Jedi Knight, survived Vader, and trained by Depa Bilaba. Ubaidullah Abdul Malik says Kanan. Kenny Crayley Jr., who voted twice, but I'm only counting one because I caught it this time, says Rey. Adam J. Taylor, ouch. Untrained granddaughter of Force Jesus versus cartoon guy I don't know anything about. Gonna have to be Rey by default. one of my favorite answers that we got, Michael J. Cohen says, this is not fair, I refuse to answer. You are horrible. So we have a no vote.
Thanks for wasting all of our time, Cohen.
Eric Marshall says, as of now, Kanan. Patrick Kotev says Kanan. Theron Alman says Rey. Jeffrey Fishbach, Rey. Kyle Taylor, I'm on the Rey being Luke's daughter bandwagon, so I will say Rey. I think she would find a way to endure. Very resourceful young lady. No disrespect to Kanan. Karsten says episode 7, Rey versus Kanan, means Kanan will win. Randy Giles, I will go with Kanan. Gregory Cass, Rey. She finds two pieces of Kanan's lightsaber and fiddles with the tech. Buradori MacArthur gives it to Rey. And Cody Murphy gave us quite the legal dissertation in a case of, how did he put this? Kanan versus Rey, 1138 Jakku AA23. Chief Justice Murphy delivered his opinion to the court, which says as of now, Kanan would win, but they may have to do a retrial after episode 8. On Twitter, at Damian Kreese 1 says, Rey, a supposed Skywalker, she can do a great many things. Who knows what power she will unlock later down the line. At Balls in Play says, ultimately it will go to Rey later in the saga, but at The Force Awakens, Jedi Knight Kanan would be able to beat an untrained Rey. So we'll go with that since we have not seen episode 8. And finally, we got an email from Ethan. The Battle of the Hair Buns. Both are relatively untrained Jedi as of now. Rey owned Kylo Ren in The Force Awakens, but he was wounded. Kanan holds his own against the Inquisitors in Rebels. Right now, I give Kanan a very slight edge. He really came into his own as a Jedi in the last few episodes of Season 2. After Episode 8, though, Rey owns Kanan. We assume, anyways. So, and again, since we haven't seen Episode 8, any mention to after Episode 8, Rey owning Kanan, I am not counting in this matchup. So, in one of the closest matchups we have had in a very long time, we have 11 for Rey, 10 for Kanan, and 1 no. What say you, Carl?
I say both.
Both?
No, I'm kidding. Okay. I'm kidding. I've been struggling with this all day. It's been, the struggle is real, Jason. I don't know, because my immediate impulse was to pick Rey, mainly because I love her character in The Force Awakens. But then it's like, wait, I also love Kanan. And I think a lot of people are bringing up a great point, that when we meet Rey at the end of Episode 7, at that point, she becomes like a instrument of the Force when she beats Kylo. I don't think that's Rey fighting on her own volition. You know, I mean, Kylo's besting her for the most part until the end of that battle. Kylo's also extremely wounded and exhausted. So Kylo's not fighting at his best. So, of course, Rey beats him down. We've talked about why we think that happens in the past. But, you know, I've been catching up on Rebels and watching what Kanan does in that show. Now, granted, whatever happens in cartoons is always embellished. I mean, look at the Clone Wars. You never see Anakin doing stuff like he does in the Clone Wars in any of the films, because that's kind of the medium of cartoons. They are meant to be a little bit more far-fetched. Be that as it may, though, I think Kanan wins. I think he wins in a close match, but I'm going to give it to Kanan. I mean, we see Kanan, I mean, He has a similar story in a way to Rey. They're both survivalists. You know, yeah, obviously Kanan grew up a Jedi as Caleb Doom. Doom. I shall bring you doom. you know, so he obviously has that structured upbringing, but for much of his adult life, he's kind of been on his own. We're getting some of that fleshed out through the comic series, but he's been a survivor in a similar way to Rey. And if you think about it, he kind of departs from the Jedi at a similar age to when Rey gets dropped off, on Jakku. He's probably a little bit older, but they've had similar upbringings. So they're both kind of survivalists. They know how to fight. They know how to be scrappy. So I think that cancels each other out. It's just simply the edge that Kanan has, because he at least has had that formal Jedi training. And more than that, we've seen him train Ezra so well. And I can tell you that as like somebody who once was a teacher, you learn stuff more by teaching it. So I think Kanan has become a more powerful Jedi in light of taking on Ezra. And you see that by the fact that he, you know, defeats the Grand Inquisitor at the end of the first season. Every time he fought him up till that point, he was kind of getting bested. But there was something about training Ezra that awakened in him something like what happens with Rey. But I think, again, he has that edge of the experience fighting with a lightsaber, many years of being, you know, a Jedi in some way. And training Ezra, I think, is actually what gives him the edge. So I give it to Kanan. I don't, in a very close one, just like it's been showing, but I think Kanan takes it at the end of the day at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to agree with you on that. It's at this point. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm agreeing with, you know, a whole bunch of the other people who gave it to Kanan, saying after episode 8, all bets are off, probably Rey. but since we haven't seen that yet, I'm just going to stick with what we've seen in episode 7 versus what we've got with Kanan up through where we're at here in season 2 of Rebels. And Kanan's got the edge at the moment. I don't think he's this super powerful Jedi, but he's one of those, you know, steady. If he was in the Jedi Order during its heyday, he wouldn't be some extraordinary Obi-Wan or Anakin. He'd be your normal, everyday, average Joe Jedi. But still, at this point, I think that beats Rey at this point, at her journey, where she is in her journey right now. So I'm going to have to give it to Kanan for this matchup, which gives us a final tally of 12 for Kanan, 11 for Rey, and 1 no.
We decided something, Jason.
We did. We actually had an effect on the outcome this time. It was that close.
And that's awesome. I love when they're this close. And I think that was, this was the perfect matchup because it's going to be close, you know?
Yes.
It's very difficult to pick between these two characters.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. That's over 20 people that like responded to this. So that's awesome. Thank you to everybody that responded. So
indeed.
Always a great feeling. Always a great feeling.
We've got a great poll for you at the end of the show, so stick around for that. But before we get there, Carl, what are we catching up on next?
Well, I want to talk some This Is Madness because my bracket's about to fall apart.
My bracket's not worth anything anymore. I was being wishful in some of my bracket thinking, and it obviously didn't work out that way for me early on.
Yeah, I've gotten 2 wrong so far in the first round. So the way that I kind of picked this was, again, because it's clear that This Is Madness is structured by popularity. It is not based on who you think will beat who. Because if that was the case, Finn wouldn't have gotten any votes against Yoda.
Right.
But, you know, it's more of just a popularity, what you think of the character. And that's kind of how I did my bracket this year. Now, I will admit, you know, obviously with all these people getting super into the NCAA tournament right now, you got brackets flying all over the place. I could not figure out how to print off a good one this year, so I just saved the file and then just, like, modified the PDF. And then that's obviously what I posted on our Facebook page. But, yeah, I mean, I picked it this time based on how I think would actually win. And I will say, I went out on the limb of kind of favoring some of the Force Awakens characters because of the popularity of the film and its recent memory. But the first time that was my undoing was I picked BB-8 to beat Ahsoka. I really thought with the popularity of BB-8 right now, I mean, he's all over everything. Everybody loves BB-8. I really thought he'd beat Ahsoka. I didn't think he'd crush Ahsoka, but I thought he'd edge her out. But she handedly beat him. I think she was in the 60s and he was in the, like, she was in the low 60s. He was in the upper 30s. But she more than doubled his percentage, which really surprised me. Now, I'm currently catching up on Rebels. I still have, like, 4 episodes to get caught up before the finale this coming week, which I will do before the finale. But the last 4 episodes I just watched, Ahsoka's not even in them. So I don't know if she becomes more involved at the end or what. But, you know, also, I mean, she's been around for a long time because the Clone Wars started in, what, 2005, 2006?
2008 was when the movie came out.
Oh, whoops.
Started development almost immediately after Revenge of the Sith.
Okay. But, well, we didn't know who she was, though, until 2008. So, but she's been around for 8 years as opposed to 4 months.
Right.
And obviously Ahsoka has a huge fan base. So I completely underestimated that. I knew it was going to be a close one, but I went out on the limb of thinking, okay, well, BB-8 is going to be more popular right now than Ahsoka. And I think the difference is if Ahsoka wasn't in Rebels, I think BB-8 would have won.
Yes, I agree there.
Yeah.
I agree. If she hadn't made her resurgence here in Rebels, and especially with the way things are going looking like they're going for the finale here in Rebels. If she didn't have that going for her, I think BB-8 would have taken a slight win. I was able to grab my bracket and I ended up picking Ahsoka. I think I went out on a limb there and I picked Ahsoka on my bracket. So that didn't throw me. Let's see. Obviously, we had Obi-Wan beat Padme. We talked about that early on. No that I picked that. R2 beat Sabine, which I picked. Luke beat Hera, which was not a surprise at all. Right. I picked that. Han beat Chewie. Yep. Yoda beat Finn. I picked that one. Ahsoka beat BB-8. Yes. Rey beat Ezra, which... not a surprise there. The one that slipped me up on the light side for my first round brackets was Leia versus Poe.
Yeah, I picked Poe.
I gave it to Poe.
Yeah, me too. And I did that because of the very big popularity of this character right now. Poe and BB-8 are synonymous for the fact that everybody loved them in The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
You don't have a naysayer about either one of those characters. And I really thought, you know, with Poe's popularity and also a little bit of that mystery because he wasn't in it a ton, I really thought he'd edge out Leia. Because looking back, because I actually did a little research. Man, I got a lot of time at work. and like looked back at previous years to see how Leia performed. And Leia usually does good early on, but she never usually, you know, makes it to those final couple rounds. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I was just like, yeah, you know, it's... if it was like Leia versus Hera or anybody else, yeah, I definitely would have given it to Leia. But I was like, I don't know, Poe. Definitely, I don't know that she can beat Poe, but she beat him again the same way Ahsoka beat BB-8. I think it was like Leia was in the 60s, Poe was in the 30s.
So, yep, it was 66 to 34%. Okay. I've got it pulled up.
Oh, nice.
So
yeah, so I mean, we're both wrong about that.
Yeah. Yes. On the dark side, no surprise, Vader beat the fifth brother. Jabba beat the seventh sister fairly handily, 64 to 36. I was disappointed. I picked the seventh sister wishfully because I'm tired of Jabba winning in the first round. I really don't understand his popularity. Hmm. But that's just me.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen I've not been that impressed with the seventh sister, so I had no problem voting for Jabba.
Yeah.
Oh.
Palpatine beat Ventress. No surprise. Maul beat Tarkin. Also no surprise. Kylo Ren beat Jango Fett. I think what surprised me was that Jango got 28%.
Yeah.
Which is more than I thought he was going to get.
Yeah, I was really surprised how much he got there. I mean, even if he'd gotten below 20%, that wouldn't have shocked me. But 28, I mean, he almost got 30%.
Yeah,
he almost had a third of the votes, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's I was surprised he got that much against Kylo, because Kylo is
awesome.
He's a big deal.
Yeah,
right now, one of the biggest deals, maybe aside from Rey
or
from
Finn.
The Force Awakens.
Listen, big deal.
Or Finn, but Finn lost.
Yes.
No surprise.
Handedly.
Dooku beat Captain Phasma, which I was very happy to see. I was also very happy to see that he beat her by as much as he did, 69 to 31%. I was actually a little concerned about that one.
Yeah, you know, I honestly thought that was going to be close too. I really thought I honestly thought it could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we were just talking about this a few minutes ago before we started recording, Jason, but I really do think it's because Phasma didn't do anything. If Phasma had done something, even, I mean, if she had that, you know, that fight with Finn on Takadana, you know, if she had done something like that, I could see her potentially winning. All it would have taken was her doing one really cool thing. I think for her to have beaten Dooku, but the fact that she literally just walks around and then gets thrown in a trash compactor, there's nothing to vote for. I mean, she looks cool, but at the end of the day, that's it. Which, you know, you can easily argue is that's what people are voting for when they vote for Boba Fett.
Yep.
Because that's all he does, at least in the original trilogy. I mean, obviously he does stuff in the Clone Wars, but I like to pretend that that didn't happen.
And speaking of Boba Fett, he beat General Hux 70 to 30%. And I was actually surprised that it was that close. You know, obviously it's not a close matchup, but General Hux, not necessarily your standout character from The Force Awakens, but the fact that it was that close surprised me a little bit. I think that may be the closest first round matchup Boba has ever had.
Yeah. I mean, and it's just funny to me that they didn't put Boba against somebody else. And like, I mean, Hux and Tarkin would have been a good matchup.
Yeah.
Cause I really like Hux. I mean,
if you had put Boba Fett versus Darth Maul in the first round,
ooh, that would have been good.
That would have shaken things up big time.
That would have shaken up things. That would have shaken things up like Boggle.
I had one of those. Yeah,
underrated game. moving on.
And then, of course, the final first round matchup was General Grievous versus Agent Callus. Grievous crushed Callus, much to my chagrin. Also, wishful thinking, I had picked Callus to beat Grievous.
Yeah, I knew Grievous would win just because he's a film character. You know, it's hard to beat a film character who's also in Clone Wars quite a bit. With just a new TV character. So I knew Grievous was going to win, even though I would have preferred Callus because I hate General Grievous. So I just think he's a terrible character. So
he's not a nice person.
No.
And then we've had two second round votes finalized.
Mm-hmm.
We had Obi-Wan versus R2-D2. I was very extremely saddened by the outcome of this. 75% for Obi-Wan Kenobi, 25% for R2-D2.
Were you surprised?
Not surprised, just disappointed that it was that big of a gap.
Sure. I think at the end of the day, it's Obi-Wan Kenobi against a droid. That's it. You know, even being R2-D2, people just love Jedi characters, specifically Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And I can get it. I understand it. But R2 has a special place in my heart. And I was going to say he's been in all six or seven movies now. But Obi-Wan's been in six of them. So, you know, it's like these are two characters that have spanned the saga for the most part. And we still could get more of Obi-Wan in the future.
Right.
Technically,
Obi-Wan is in Force Awakens.
Technically, yes. He's in that.
These are your first step.
Exactly. So you could say he's been in all seven again.
True.
I, on my bracket, wishful thinking, had R2 beating Obi-Wan and then losing to Luke in the third round. But we have Luke versus Han going right now.
Which is not looking good for my bracket because I have Han winning it all and he's down 47 to 53 right now. And I don't see that changing.
I don't see it changing. It's a close one. It's the closest one so far.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't see it changing.
And I'm so bummed. I really, because Han's made it to the final for the light side for a while, or a few times now. And I really thought he'd be able to do it now. Especially with the fact that he was so good in The Force Awakens, and Luke doesn't do anything in The Force Awakens. Not to say that, like, not to diminish Luke's character, he's still awesome. But
he was in, like, the last 30 seconds of the movie.
Exactly. I thought that Han would take the cake on this. I thought it'd be close. I thought this would be his hardest one, but I thought if he could get through Luke, he was going to then take care of Obi-Wan.
Okay.
But and again, in a close one, but yeah, I don't know. If Luke does win, which it's looking like he is, I hope Luke makes it the rest of the way for the light side, because I'm kind of sick of Obi-Wan and Yoda. I love them, but like kind of going all the way. It'd be nice to get somebody different, you know?
Well, I haven't gotten it down to the final two on my bracket. I've got it sitting at the final four. Okay. I'll go there and we'll address that in a minute, but I do want to get through the last two that have been decided or are still going on. Vader handily beat Jabba 94-6, which I was so glad to see. Jabba get out. Thank you very much.
Jabba will never make it far in this tournament.
No. No. And then Palpatine versus Maul is going on right now. And in another close one, Maul is beating Palpatine, though.
Yeah.
It's another 53-47, right?
Yeah, it's 53-47. Yeah, so it's even closer than Han and Luke.
Yeah, it's a close one.
And I picked Palpatine to do this, so I'm really surprised.
I thought Palpatine would win too, but then I go back and I see what I put on my bracket, and I've got Maul winning it. So I'm like, oh,
hey, good for you.
I'm smart, maybe.
Yeah, maybe it's just because we haven't seen Palpatine do anything in a while. We're about to get Darth Maul in the finale, which is going to be sick. Hope he finally dies. Please die. Please die.
Yeah, I know. Can we end the saga of Darth Maul?
Good Lord.
Oh, man. I just wish Obi-Wan was the one to end it.
Technically, in my mind, he did end it in Naboo, because it's kind of a huge step for his character, but whatever. I guess we can just undo huge character developments. That's okay, though. It's just the clone of Darth Maul.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just skip ahead a little bit, and I want to know what your final four predictions are, and then...
Crap, I left my bracket downstairs. I'm trying to remember what they are.
Oh.
I remember. I remember. It's Kylo versus Vader and Han versus, I think, Yoda.
Okay.
Yeah, Han versus Yoda, and then Kylo versus Vader.
See, I had Kylo versus Vader. That one is, I think, almost a lock to get Kylo and Vader in the final four for the dark side. I had Luke versus Rey.
Oh, okay. I could see
coming
that
out in the final four. And I have hesitated for so long as to who I think is going to win those. I want to say it's going to come down, and I'm going to make my championship matchup here on the air. I'm going to say it's going to come down to Rey versus Vader.
Okay.
And I think Rey wins. I'm going to give it to Rey. I've completed my bracket here on the air.
Well, I'm ready to change my bracket because I'm pretty sure Han's not going to win at all. And I think you're right in picking Vader to win the dark side, because just already based on the numbers, like, Vader's like housing everybody. Granted, he's yet to go up against anybody very difficult.
Right.
But I mean, the fact that Jango got 28 against Kylo, Jango's not that big a character. Like, he's a cool character, but he's not a huge character. You know what I mean? So I don't think Vader will lose to Kylo in the final. So I honestly think it's going to be Vader versus Luke. I think obviously Luke's going to beat Han. I think he'll beat Obi-Wan. I think Yoda might actually beat Rey, though. I don't know that Rey will make it to the final four. I could see Yoda getting the edge on Rey just based on people's voting so far. I think it's going to be Yoda and Luke, and then Luke will beat Vader, I think, in the final.
Rey crushed Ezra, though, so...
That's Ezra, though. Nobody likes Ezra. I hate Ezra. I appreciate Ezra's character, but I also can't stand Ezra's character. It's weird. It's kind of like how I felt about Ahsoka early on. I hated Ahsoka for the longest time.
Yeah. So. But going forward, from where we stand right now, I think we're going to get Vader, Maul, and Vader's going to beat Maul. Kylo, I see him beating Dooku, sadly. And Boba Fett's going to beat Grievous, as he always does, because I feel like we've had that matchup at least twice before. Kylo's big step is going to be beating Boba. I think he will, but that'll be a close one. And then if he gets to Vader, I can't see him beating Vader. He'll be popular, it'll be close, but I can't see him beating Vader.
Yeah.
I think Rey, though, has resonated so much coming out of The Force Awakens that she's riding this high, and she'll beat Yoda. I think that's going to happen.
I just think that'll be a close one. It's hard to say. But I don't disagree. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, yeah. There is our This Is Madness update and future predictions.
Yes. And, Jason, I just had a crazy This Is Madness matchup for the end of the episode. I think we're going to have to change our poll.
I'll type
it to you in Skype, but we won't reveal it to the end.
This Is Madness. We are changing our plans on the fly as we record, folks. I feel like this has happened maybe once before in our entire 174 episodes of doing this.
yeah, What do you think of that?
Ooh. Ooh. Super teams.
Super teams. Do you like that?
I like it. I like it. Let's do that. All right. So we're going to change things up, folks. And I cannot wait to see what people think. We're gonna do some teams, a team matchup here, folks. And it's going to be exciting. And
it's going to be like a Royal Rumble, everybody. Yes, exactly. All this is madness talk just got me excited. So, but you'll have to wait and hear what that is.
Oh, yes. Of course.
Jason.
Yes.
Let's talk a little Rebels.
Okay.
So I'm still a little behind, and I know you're only a couple behind. I think I'm like three or four behind.
I think I'm two.
Okay, nice. I want to see. So it's funny because after the Leia episode, that was the last one I'd watched like on time, which I didn't realize was like 2 months ago. That's crazy. And I was like really underimpressed for the first time ever with Rebels. I think I didn't dislike it. But it was the first time where I wasn't like wowed, I guess. And I don't know, I guess life just got busy and I just kind of stopped watching them for a little bit. But it's so funny because I watched four episodes this morning and they were all amazing. And the reason I think that again is true, it's the same reason I loved the first season of Rebels and why I consistently like it more than the Clone Wars. And I'm not, I loved the Clone Wars, but the Clone Wars always had like those few throwaway episodes. I've yet to still see a Rebels episode that's a throwaway. Even the Leia one, like, it was fine and it was fun. And I think that's the thing that Rebels captures so well, is I think it's just still so darn fun. It's such a great show that, like, it literally just makes me think of, like, when I was a kid playing Star Wars. Like, these are great ideas to, like, have when you were playing, right? Like, just running around, like, Imperial cruisers, like, capturing somebody or blowing something up. I mean, the plots are always really simple, but we always get this very great subtle character development. And I think Rebels, and Clone Wars did this as well, but I think Rebels is doing it very, very expertly because it's following a set of characters, right? Like, it's more story narrative-based than the Clone Wars was. Mm-hmm. And I think what I really like about it is that, again, this is the perfect show for all audiences. You know, there's plenty there for the kids to enjoy. Like, they're just running around blowing things up. It's fun. That's great. Kids love that. But there's also, like, this great character stuff. And there's always a little bit of the mythology of Star Wars. Always a little bit of it in the Rebels. And I love that. I absolutely love it. So, I mean, obviously this morning I watched the episode where, you know, they find the lost... Oh, crap. What are Zeb's... what's
Lasat.
Lasats, yeah. And they have the thing that's similar to the... Well, it is the Force, but they just call it something different.
The Ashla.
Yes. And I just think that was so stinking cool. And I love that. I mean, the Clone Wars kind of gave us that too, right? With, like, the Night Sisters. They clearly have some sort of way of manipulating the Force. They're witches, but they're not your cut-of-the-mill Jedi and Sith. And now you have the Lasat who can, you know, have... the Ashla, you know, it's the same thing and it's the same idea. I love that. I love that the Force is being expanded to include everything, you know? Cause that's great. There can't be just one way of using the Force. Like that's just,
right.
It's not realistic. So I love that. I love what that's doing for the Star Wars mythology. So I really enjoyed that. And then I just, you know, I just finished the episode with Chomp Syndulla, which was really cool. And I love that. Again, I think this was some great character development. Chomp Syndulla is, he's not really a good character till the end of that episode, if you think about it.
Right.
He honestly reminds me of, throughout the entire, here you go, here's some theology. In the Old Testament, the prophets were always kind of yelling at the Jewish people because of their arrogance, thinking that because they were God's people, that they were better than everybody else. So all they cared about was their Jewish brothers and sisters, everybody else, the hell with them, was basically the belief. And the prophets were always like, no, shut up. Like, God loves everybody. and now you've kind of got Chomp Syndulla, who's kind of like this arrogant ruler who's saying, he literally says in the episode, I don't care about anybody else. I just care about Ryloth. And it takes Hera to broaden his mind, which is great because, like, she's saying, you know, it's not just us fighting this battle. Like, and don't you realize that by being united, like, we can do so much more? But I do like the thing. I like the idea, though, that the reality that at least Cham can be swayed. You know, it's a nice commentary on current times because most people who have strong opinions are so darn arrogant all the time that they're never willing to listen. So I liked that about Chom Syndulla's character.
I also like the fact that Chom is a character that has, you know, while he's a minor character, he's had a development from his various appearances. Obviously, we saw him just a handful of times during the Clone Wars. He then was featured very heavily in Lords of the Sith, which is a book I believe I know I loved, and you liked that too right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
We talked about that book on the show a while back. And now he's had this, and he's become a very hardened, cynical character up until this point. And to see the fact that he's gotten to that point and then see Hera break through that was really great. Also, two real quick things. One, nice little Easter egg. The young woman, Twi'lek, that was with Chom is Numa, who was the little girl from the Innocence of Ryloth episode. Yeah. And they got Kat Tabor to come back and voice her. And one of my favorite moments in that episode is when Hera and Chom are arguing and she slips back into her Ryloth accent.
Yeah. Because I was for a second there, I was like, why is she talking like that? And I was like, oh, makes sense.
Yep.
It's like somebody with a southern accent when they're away from home for a while, but then when they go back, it comes back.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, it was great because she's starting to get more and more pissed at her dad. And as she gets more and more pissed, the accent comes out fully, and then she starts getting herself under control and it starts to go away again. You know, and it was like, it was really good. I thought it was great. And that sort of thing always... When someone can do that in a take like that, you know, it's like, ah, makes me want to aspire to be able to do something like that, you know. it's my wannabe voice actor-ness coming out there.
Any other big standouts for you with Rebels right now?
Of the episodes that you've seen... not yet. The next episode is actually pretty good. I like it a lot. The next two are going to be really good, and I can't wait for you to watch them. The Honorable Ones puts Zeb and Kallus in a situation together.
Yep.
Which will be cool. And Shroud of Darkness, the one after that, brings Ahsoka back into the picture.
Oh, good. Good.
So...
Yeah,
you'll like those.
Rebels is just it's such a great show.
It is.
Really is, you know. Yeah, it's so good.
And I don't want to talk too much about those two episodes that I mentioned because you haven't seen them yet. But the end of the one with Kallus and Zeb makes you start going, oh, will such and such character be doing such and such in the future? You know, it's like it gives you start thinking about what the future of well, I'll come out and say it, what the future of Kallus has in store.
Sure.
So it's interesting and I really like it. But I'm super excited to see where it goes from there. And I got to catch up with, I got most of the episode 2 weeks ago and I haven't seen this past week's episode yet. So I got to catch up on those. But yeah. I'm excited.
I can't wait for this finale. I mean, it looks great.
Yeah.
That was a great teaser they put together, you know, kind of just like charting the relationship between Ahsoka and Anakin. And now sounds like they might have a showdown. But obviously, let's do a little speculating, even though I've I'm a few episodes behind. But I don't care. I could still speculate. I think so. Obviously, Darth Maul's coming back in this episode as well. I could see a couple of things happening. I think the name of the finale is Twilight of the Apprentice, right?
Yeah.
Which I think...
I feel like that's a double meaning, and it could apply to either Ahsoka or Ezra.
Oh, interesting.
Because...
or Darth Maul.
Mm-hmm. True.
I mean, yeah, I think... I don't think Ezra would die. I think if Ahsoka or Ezra, because
but the thing is, with the trailers and stuff that we've gotten, Ezra is treading dangerously close to the dark side. He's starting to sort of head that direction, and so Twilight of the Apprentice. And I'm just putting this out here. I'm not. This isn't my first option of what could happen, but I'm saying it would be really interesting if they twisted it like this, gave us this twist at the end. Twilight of the Apprentice could mean Ezra falling to the dark side.
Interesting.
Or being seduced away from the ghost by the dark side for a period. And that's, and we're going to have to wait till season three to see how they fix that situation. You know, they could give us a cliffhanger like that.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. You know, I could see a couple of things happening. I mean, it's, I really still want Ahsoka to die at the hands of Darth Vader. I don't know that it has to happen this episode. And again, I say that like not in like a horrible way, like, oh, I hate Ahsoka, hope Vader kills her. But more of just, again, we've talked about this long time ago, even Jason, like when we knew Ahsoka was first going to come back into Rebels. It's just the fact that it's more about Vader than it is about Ahsoka, because we all love Ahsoka at this point. I love Ahsoka. So watching her be killed by her former master, again, just solidifies where Darth Vader is at and
yeah,
how much work Luke really had cut out for him, if you think about it. You know, if right. anything, all of that stuff, all this stuff that actually, this is actually really interesting what they're kind of doing with Darth Vader's character finally with like the comics and now with him in Rebels. The more we see Vader being extremely villainous, the more we, again, it really kind of, it continues to unpack what Luke did. If you think about it, it just, because we all know Vader's a bad guy. I mean, it's, I mean, that's well established at the end of A New Hope and even more so at the end of Empire. But now it's even, it's just being even, it's like even like, let's pile on the darkness some more. And if you think about it again, that it's really neat what that does then for what Luke does for him at the end of Return of the Jedi. You know, it makes that redemption story all the more sweet, if you will. So yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I really do want Vader to kill Ahsoka, for that purpose, again, for the purpose of the Anakin Skywalker story more than anything else.
Yeah.
But I could also see him, I could see Vader killing Darth Maul. And yeah. You know, Darth Maul probably hates Darth Vader. He's probably aware of him.
You know? Oh yeah.
And just think of like, I mean, he hated Dooku, for replacing him with Palpatine. Maybe has the same feelings about Vader. I wouldn't mind seeing Vader kill Darth Maul as well. I don't think you're going to get the death of Ahsoka and Darth Maul in the same episode. I think that'd be too much.
Yeah.
And I think keeping Ahsoka around another season would actually do well because so many people love Ahsoka. It's actually really interesting. There's this this kid in the youth group I run. She's in ninth grade, and she's a huge Star Wars fan now because I always talk about it, obviously, at youth group. And this kid went home and started watching the Clone Wars, and she loves Ahsoka. And this kid's also a really good artist, so she's been drawing pictures of Ahsoka at like every youth group. And I'm just like, yeah, go draw a picture of Ahsoka on the whiteboard. She'll do it. It's awesome. And
nice.
And she's really good. And it was just really interesting to listen to a young girl talk about why she likes Ahsoka so much. Again, I think because Ahsoka is, and it's not to say that the male characters in Star Wars can't do this for women, because I know that it has, but just stereotypically, you know, Star Wars tends to be more of a boys thing. And that's just, you can't argue with the numbers. It still is the case. You know, you go to a Star Wars convention, the majority of fans there, of hardcore fans, are typically guys. There are girls there, but it's a guy heavy franchise. So I think Ahsoka does for young girls what Luke Skywalker did for young boys, what Han Solo did. And it's, they're the hero. They're the hero that tells these kids that they can do anything. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool to like hear a young kid say that. Like, she didn't use those exact words. I'm obviously interpreting what she told me, but it's just really neat to see what Ahsoka has done, you know, for young kids, specifically for females. So I think that's a really cool part of her character, which makes me think that she could survive this finale, but somebody big's got to go. And I really hope it's Darth Maul. I'd love to see an epic battle between Maul and Vader and Vader kill him. Because it'll settle all those discussions of who's the better duelist.
Oh man, it would be great because we already know that there's going to be a clash between Vader and Ahsoka. We've seen that in the trailers,
right?
It would be great if Vader wounds Ahsoka. He's going in for the kill, and all of a sudden, Maul, who's been tracking Vader through our heroes, bursts in a rage and distracts Vader from Ahsoka. Ahsoka escapes, and Vader kills Maul.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that. I'm not hopeful of that happening that way. I Twilight of the Apprentice sounds very much like the end of an era. And the likelihood of Ahsoka making it out of the season finale is not good.
Yeah, for sure.
I hope that's not the case, but it's unlikely that something different will happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, going to kind of what you were hoping for earlier, Jason, though, about, well, not hoping for, but seeing it in a different way, maybe like because of the way Ezra seems to be going. Mm-hmm. And I've seen the clips. I haven't seen the episodes yet, but it's clear that Ezra, and I've seen already in a few episodes where Ezra does teeter on the dark side. It could be interesting. You know, we've gotten a few of those clips where Ezra's clearly talking to Darth Maul. He probably isn't aware of who Darth Maul is, but, you know, it could be interesting if Darth Maul goes off with Ezra and does kind of turn him a little bit, you know, and Ahsoka, I mean, we could see Ahsoka dying, and that's how Darth Maul could survive this. Although, Darth Maul needs to go, in my opinion. The only way that I think that that would also actually be kind of cool is you get that, you're going to get that big emotional wrap up that you want with the Ahsoka dying at the hands of Vader, but you keep Maul around kind of training Ezra, but maybe his next mission is to turn Ezra into an agent with him to hunt down Obi-Wan, which could be cool. Obi-Wan, you know, they show up and take on Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan is able to convince Ezra to go back to the light, and he kills Maul finally for good.
I like this speculation because then that splits Ezra off from the Ghost crew, and they have to find a way to find him and rescue him and turn him back.
Right. And it all comes to a culmination on Tatooine, and Kanan gets to meet Obi-Wan and get his apprentice back, and Maul finally dies at the hands of Obi-Wan.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I think that's a brilliant storytelling idea, and that is a plausible path that this could take.
Yeah. It'd be fun.
That's, it would be fun. Sure.
Obi-Wan would be old, though, at this point, too, realize. I mean, although Darth Maul's obviously old, maybe Zabrix don't age the same way humans do. But, we'll see. Know, I mean, because this is what? Rebels takes place, what, isn't it 4 years before A New Hope?
This is 4 or 5 years before New Hope at this point, yeah.
Right. So we're going to get Alec Guinness Obi-Wan, which James Arnold Taylor could easily do.
Yeah.
So, or Jason Hunt. What? I'm sorry. What? Who said that? Hello there.
You must do what you feel is right, of course.
See? Hire him, Dave Filoni. Oh, man.
All right.
Well, that's enough. I guess that's enough crap talent around Rebels. Glad to be back in that.
I can't wait to talk Rebels when the whole season's done and we've had a chance to digest everything.
I know. Me too.
Just
a few more days. I mean, that comes out on Wednesday.
Yeesh. So,
Jason, I just wanted to mention the deleted scenes teasers we've gotten for The Force Awakens.
Mm.
Have you watched it? Have you watched that teaser?
I saw the first one. Okay. And I've decided to not watch the second one because I'm like, I just want to watch the deleted scenes and I can wait.
Okay, that's fair. So. I will say I've been a little surprised by these commercials because I originally thought that they were fan made, mainly because of like the ad scene where it's just the star background and it says like, you know, Blu-ray and digital available and the dates. It almost looks like an iMac movie production or something. Like they don't look that professional, which is weird. Like the video clips are all professional, but when we get these like tie over screens, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but they don't look overly professional. They don't look bad, but they just look like somebody threw it together on a MacBook or something. So it's just interesting because they are professional. But obviously one of the big deleted scenes we're getting is Kylo boarding the Falcon.
Yes.
Which was obviously originally shot and you know, it's just edited out. So it's going to look, I think it's going to have film quality to it. But I think that'll be really cool to see Kylo. I mean, we saw a shot of this in the latest teaser, but Kylo standing on the bridge of the Falcon. You know, and just think, like, that's obviously going to be real for him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we can assume Ben Solo was on the Millennium Falcon quite a bit as a young man.
Yes, I would think so.
So I think that'll be cool. I think that might give a further insight at least a little bit more of an insight into the relationship between Han and his son.
That could be cool. Of course, this is, I don't know. I'm going to say this is before we've really known that Kylo was a Solo, but then I was like, no, no, because they told us that between Han and Leia earlier. So, yeah, right. Never mind.
Yeah. And then the only other deleted scene I think is worth mentioning, I can't wait to see it in its entirety, is the one where the stormtroopers come down into the basement of Maz Kanata's castle. And you have, you know, Han, Chewie, Finn, and Maz Kanata there. And Han says, is there any other way out of here? And she just says, no. And, like, you see them running in the next shot. And there was always talk about Maz Kanata using the Force to, like, either trick some stormtroopers or make, like a ceiling fall on top of them. I really want to see Maz Kanata use the Force.
Yes.
So that's what I really hope that deleted scene is. I hope it's not them just, like, blasting it out. But the way that the shot looks, like, they're facing each other, and the stormtroopers have a lot more guns, and they're pretty close. I'm really hoping it's Maz pulling out some Force trickery.
That would be great. So, oh, man. More Maz in my life is always a good thing.
Yeah, I really hope she's back in 8. So I think Lupita Nyong'o is on the cast list. Yeah, that's right. So I'm sure she'll be in it in some capacity. So I can't wait. But anyway.
It will be great.
A week from Wednesday. Oh, well, a week from Tuesday, excuse me. So, wow, this Wednesday we get the finale of Rebels, and then less than a week later we get The Force Awakens. Obviously, if you're getting it digitally, you get it digitally on Friday. So, less than a week away.
On April 1st, it'd be horrible.
Yes.
If they had announced, on April 1st, you get the digital, and then, April Fools, it's not until Tuesday.
Oh, man, I hope they do that.
I kind of do, too.
Because I'm not doing digital, so I'd rather have the copy. And it's, you might as well do the hard copy, because you get a digital copy with it anyway.
Right. So, right. You get the case, the box,
yeah, I don't know. But,
yeah.
Anyway. Jason, before we wrap this up, Matt, why don't we just try to bang out one more Larian inquiry?
All right, let's do this.
I feel bad because we've had like this huge email list when we first did our Force Awakens episode. But I will say, we are being faithful to this. We are working through them, and we're almost done.
Yes. So we've got 4 more left on the big email barrage that we got from you folks after The Force Awakens came out back in December. This one comes from Eric Marshall. He says, I'm still trying to process everything I saw a week ago when I saw the movie. That tells you how long it's been since we got this. My first reaction, though, was, wow. I walked out of the theater and I had the biggest smile on my face. I was hoping for some more hints on who Rey's parents are, though I'm pretty sure I can logically guess. But you never know, they might be throwing out those hints as a red herring. The Force Awakens is my favorite movie in the franchise so far, though that might change once the hype starts to settle down, but it will stay up near the top of my list no matter what. Now to the part that I'm sure most people will mention, Han, Leia, and Kylo. I did not see Kylo being the Solo's son, and I'm glad that they threw a bone to the Legends fans by making his name Ben. I did see Han's death coming a mile away, though, even before seeing the movie, and I didn't look at any spoilers ahead of time. With Harrison's history with the franchise, I figured he would only come back for his death. Though I was shocked when Kylo ignited the saber right through him. I figured he was going to have to kamikaze into Starkiller Base to take out the base and save everyone one last time. Though I love that Kylo ended up taking him out. It makes his character so much more interesting to see where he goes from here. Did you have anything you wanted to say about that before we finish up his email?
No, not really. I think, again, this is very old, so I feel bad we're just getting to it, but kudos to you, Eric, for staying away from spoilers, because I knew Kylo was a Solo, like, probably 6 months before the movie.
Oh my god.
And I'm not saying that in, like, a cocky way, it's just, like, I couldn't stop myself. So I'm saying kudos to you for having that with, ability to withhold.
Yeah, that surprised me when I first saw it too. I was like,
They do reveal it early. If you think about it, you know, Snoke.
They do. It's like halfway through the movie.
Yeah, not even halfway, but yeah. I do want to comment just real quick because it's been a few months. You know, he says it's his favorite movie so far, but you know, let's see once the hype winds down. It's been a few months removed now, and obviously, I was very in love with this movie and still am. But I think, you know, I had it ranked just below Empire. I think already with just a few months to settle in, and mainly some of my critiques are more about J.J. than anything else, and I love J.J. Abrams, But some people have made some good points about his editing. The way certain things are shot, certain edits of the film makes, there are a few moments now when I, like when I watched it later on, where I was like, ooh, that's not exactly Star Wars. So I'm ranking it like either tied or just below Return of the Jedi. So
okay, it's tied for second or third.
It's not gonna drop any lower than that, because I will always like it more than A New Hope and all the prequels. But yeah, I think it runs right evenly with Jedi for me now. So
okay,
has your ranking of it changed at all?
I don't know. It's so hard for me to rank these movies in general.
Mm-hmm.
I think, of course, everyone knows that A New Hope is probably my least favorite. Not to say I don't love it, because it's Star Wars, hello. It's still above every other movie in existence. And Empire are probably the ones that are on the bottom of my favorite list. It probably sits above those two right now. But I just have such a fondness for the prequels. The prequels are my nostalgia Star Wars, because I grew up at the right time when those were coming out. The original trilogy coming out with the special editions got me introduced to the world, but I really latched onto the prequels. So that's my Star Wars nostalgia, mm-hmm. Folks. So at this point, I think it's going to sit there around fifth place for me at the moment. So, of course, Return of the Jedi being first, then you got the prequels, and then Force Awakens. But once we see episode 8 and start seeing how some of the seeds that were planted in The Force Awakens start bearing out, I think that may change. Once we get episode 8 and start seeing how some of the storyline starts developing, I think it may go up or down depending on how effectively that works.
Right.
So,
yeah. The last hour of The Force Awakens to me is amazing. Basically, when they get to like Takadana, from there till the end of the movie, I'm super hooked. I mean, after seeing it, I saw it 11 times. By like 9, 10, 11, that first hour or so, it's not bad. I love it still, but it is a little bit slower, kind of like A New Hope was. And I think, again, it has to be. It's developing these characters. But basically, once we get to Takadana, from then on, I mean, it's some of the best Star Wars on film, in my opinion. So
anyway, it is very good.
Maybe we should get back to Eric.
yes, he's got just a little bit more here. He says, I want to end this email with what I think is the most important thing and what I think makes this movie a great one. My wife, who had never seen any of the Star Wars films until the Monday before opening weekend, when she sat down with me to watch A New Hope, she doesn't understand the saga very well, but she came out of the movie completely loving it and was able to follow what was going on the whole time. That, to me, is what makes The Force Awakens a great movie for everyone. Even the non-fans can follow and understand what is going on without any problems. Sorry for the wall of text. There's so much more I would love to say about the movie, but I know you have many more emails to get to. Thank you for a wonderful podcast. Well, thank you, Eric, for sticking with us, even though it took us 4 months to get to your email.
Yeah, sorry about that. But I mean, he's dead on with that. You know, I think non-Star Wars fans or even casual Star Wars fans could easily love that movie, because it just didn't matter if you weren't very well immersed into the galaxy. Because if you think about it, you know, a lot of early critics were stupidly calling it a reboot, which was annoying, because it's clearly not a reboot at all.
No, not a reboot.
The only thing is, though, is like the start of the movie doesn't imply that you necessarily have to know really who anybody is, because we're getting introduced to all new characters and a whole new situation in the galaxy. So you're okay. I think being hardcore Star Wars fans, obviously things are more fleshed out. Some of the little nods, you know, like when the Falcon first appears, you know, if you've never seen a Star Wars movie, you're just going to be like, whatever, it's a ship. They're escaping. Great. But like for a Star Wars fan, it's like, oh my God, I just peed my pants a little. It's the Falcon, you know? Yeah.
We'll take the garbage.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
garbage will do, you know, and then yes, you know,
right.
It is a great introduction to the Falcon. I just think it's kind of silly that Han didn't have it still.
Yeah. But anyway, it made perfect sense as to why he doesn't.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
but yeah, I completely agree. You know, yeah, I think anybody could enjoy that film.
Oh yeah.
So
definitely. It's a great film. It's got great moments. Of course, everyone knows I love BB-8 and his, you know, thumbs up. It's amazing. And then that fight at the end between Rey and Kylo is amazing. And I've already said more Maz in my life is always a good thing. And I love Maz Kanata. She's great.
Yes.
So. And so, everyone agrees Poe Dameron is a very attractive man.
Poe's the man. Poe's the man.
Poe is the man.
Jason, what do you say we start wrapping this up?
I think we should. Since you came up with this matchup, Carl, why don't you introduce us to your super teams that you want to pit against each other?
Well, I thought it'd be fun, in light of This Is Madness, to make a little bit of a This Is Madness matchup, if you will. So I've got a dark side team versus a light side team. On the dark side, we have Darth Vader, Darth Maul, and Kylo Ren taking on Luke Skywalker, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Ahsoka Tano.
There you go, folks.
And just to clarify, it's kind of like at the height of all of their careers, if you will. Yes. So not Legends Luke people. So not like God-made man Luke Skywalker from Legends. We're talking Luke Skywalker, you know, to where he's probably potentially at Episode 7. And Obi-Wan at the height of his career, so not necessarily Sir Alec Guinness, but more Ewan McGregor. Yes. And obviously Ahsoka right now in Rebels.
Yeah. Oh, man. This will be great. Yes. I cannot wait to see what people think about this. I'm going to have so much fun putting together this little image for our matchup. And I want it.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. And Carl,
yes.
Where can people, if they want to respond to the matchup, talk to us about anything on the show, offer suggestions for future matchups or polls, where can they do that?
They can do it on Facebook, facebook.com/wampaslayerpodcast. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/wampaslayer, or shoot us an email at wampaslayerpodcast@gmail.com.
Excellent. And is there anything else that you want to say before we wrap up this fine podcast?
We've seemed to hit a stalemate on Facebook likes. Nobody's liked us in a while. So if you're a new listener, you like us, you want to get involved with all the conversations, be sure to like us on Facebook.
Yes, that is our echo base, if you will, where we are most active. So check us out there. But that wraps up this episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This has been episode number 174. Tell that to Conja Club. And no, we're not going to play it again. for Carl, I'm Jason, and we will see you next time here in the Wampa's Lair.